Shabbat Shalom again, and happy or merry Jewish Christmas. I will explain why I say this. You will understand at the end. So not be angry or not be frustrated. Be joyful. It's a good thing to be. Always rejoice in the Lord. I would like to talk about one exciting topic, the Jewish Christmas. In some parts, I believe it was stolen from us. And I know, this topic is forbidden in the Orthodox Jewish world. I know. And there is debate in Messianic Judaism over whether we should celebrate the birth of the Messiah or not. It is a huge debate sometimes. Today there is so much confusion and false information that some people celebrating Christmas have already forgotten the meaning of the holiday. Sometimes it happens. For many people, Christmas has become many things other than the birth of the Messiah. So today I do not want to argue about the date of Christmas or how to celebrate it. It's not about the date. It's not about the tradition. But I want to talk about the very essence of this day, about the birth of the one we worship as the Messiah and the Lord. For sure, we don't know the date, but I believe as Messianic believers, we need to be joyful about the fact that this Messiah was and is given to us. And if you are not joyful about this thing, about this date, something wrong with you. So many people angry about the Christmas thing, that too angry. We need to rejoice because Yeshua was given to us. I mean, yeah, amen. About the first coming of the Messiah Yeshua. So number one, we do not know the exact date of the birth of Yeshua. We do not know. Nobody knows. One of the reasons for this is that in ancient Israel, they did not celebrate birthdays as something special. In the old ancient Israel, there were no celebration of birthday parties. Number two, if the exact date were necessary, it would be written on the pages of the Bible, and it's not there. So, very briefly, I have a few words about the possible dates. So, according to various sources, Christmas began to be celebrated on December 25th in the year 337 or 354 in Rome, somewhere at that time. In his book, one of the church fathers explains the origins of this date. He starts from the idea that Zechariah, the father of the John the Baptist, he was from the Baptist church probably. No. Baptist means immerser. And his real Hebrew name, Yohanan the Immerser. So, he starts from the idea that Zechariah, the father of Yohanan the Immerser, was the high priest, and accordingly, the day the angel told him about the birth of his son was on Yom Kippur. It was the approach of this father, church father. According to the Julian calendar, the holiday that year fell on September 23rd. So, 6 months later, after Zechariah learned about his son, John the Baptist, from the Baptist church, Yohanan, Immerser actually, his name, Miriam Mary, the mother of Yeshua, received the word from the angel about the birth of her son, Yeshua. So 6 months later. Having counted 6 months from September 23rd, the church father came to the date. It was actually March 25th. And from this date, having calculated 9 months as duration of pregnancy, we came to December 25th. So this was his idea, how he calculated the birth of the Messiah. So we have December 25th. And can you imagine, Maggie gave birth actually in the Christmas Eve. Wow. That will be a memorable time. What do you think? But this whole theory is based on the assumption that Zechariah was the high priest. So all the theory about December 25th based upon the idea that Zechariah was the high priest. But from the history point of view, in his writings listing all the high priests, Josephus does not mention Zechariah. Zechariah wasn't the high priest in Israel. He wasn't the high priest. So Zechariah most likely was not the high priest in Israel, for sure. So now I want to share another opinion, and I believe it is more Bible-based opinion, of when Yeshua was born, actually, his date. So let us read Luke chapter 1, and please follow me, because it is important to follow me. Or in the end, you won't remember anything, for sure. So much information. Follow me, please. Luke chapter 1, and please remember, again, it's not about the date. It is about the fact, about the meaning of Yeshua's birth on this place. So, Luke 1, verse 5. Let's start with verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a Kohen, a priest. It doesn't say a high priest, it says a priest. Just a priest, named Zechariah from the priestly division of Abijah. Please remember, from the priestly division of Abijah. Elizabeth, his wife, was from the daughters of Aaron. Verse 8. Now it happened to be Zechariah's time to serve as Kohen before Adonai in the order of his division. And please remember, high priest was not the part of divisions. So other priests were the part of divisions, priestly divisions. Verse 11, an angel of Adonai appeared to him. Verse 13, but the angel said, do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will give birth to your son, and you will name him John, Yohanan. Verse 24. After these days, his wife Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, became pregnant and hid herself for 5 months. Please remember, 5 months from the moment when the angel told Zechariah about his son. Verse 26. Then in the sixth month, so after 5 months, the angel Gabriel was sent by Adonai into a town in the Galilee named Nazareth, and to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary or Miriam. Her Jewish real name, Miriam. Verse 30. The angel spoke to her, do not be afraid, Miriam. It looks like every time an angel appears to people, they are afraid. Yeah. Today when I hear that people saying, I saw angel, it was so fun. We ate ice cream together. I don't know about that angel who likes to eat ice cream. Every time when angel appears, people are afraid. It is because it's a glorious moment. It's a glorious moment. So she's afraid again. Do not be afraid, Miriam, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua. He will be great and will be called Ben Elyon, Son of God. Can you imagine? Adonai Elohim will give him the throne of David, his father. He shall reign over the house of Jacob for all eternity, and his kingdom will be without end. Now, Let us open Book of Chronicles, please. In the Book of Chronicles, King David established shifts of service or priestly divisions in the temple for the priests. So David created 24 divisions or 24 shifts, and each shift or each division was half a month long, 15 days. So 24 divisions, 50 days each one. So 1 Chronicles chapter 24. So we are slowly getting to the date. So this is what we are doing here. This is the pure math. So 1 Chronicles 24:3. David with Tzadok of the sons of Eleazar and Ahimelech of the sons of Itamar divided them into their offices according to their avodah, or ministry, or service in the temple. So here's the priests divided by different divisions. And verse 10, the most important verse. The seventh was Hakoz. The eighth was Abijah. So Abijah's division was the eighth division in the shift. In agreement to Luke 1:5, there was a Kohen, a priest named Zechariah from the priestly division of Abijah. So eighth division. And his term of service was the eighth of 24 shifts. He was eighth. This means that Zechariah's time of service in the temple was the second half of the fourth month in the Hebrew calendar, the month of Tammuz. It's somewhere in the mid-late July, somewhere there at the time. During this time in the temple, an angel of the Lord told him about the birth of his son, John, Yohanan. So in the fifth month, Zechariah returned home after his service in the temple was over. And Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant at the beginning of the month of Av, late July, early August, somewhere there. According to Luke 1:26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel of the Lord came to Miriam, Mary, and told her that she would conceive from the Holy Spirit and give birth to her son. So after 9 months, Miriam gives birth to Yeshua, making it about the middle of the seventh month, the Hebrew month of Tishrei, somewhere from mid-September to early October. So it is about the time of the autumn high holidays. Some scholars think it is about the Sukkot time. So here's the second idea. I heard about that he was born in the March, but for me, the most important is his birth. The fact that he was born in this earth world. And one more thing. December can be a cold month in Jerusalem and in that area, and sometimes even snowing there. And therefore, the shepherds do not stay overnight with their flocks in the fields in December. It is not common practice. Also, the census probably would not have been scheduled in the winter time. So some historians believe that Yeshua's birth could not have happened in winter. Let us open Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 8. Luke 2, 1 through 8. Now it happened in those days, a decree went from Caesar Augustus to register all the world's inhabitants. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone was traveling to be registered in his own city. Now Joseph also went up from the Galilee, out of the town of Nazareth to Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was from the house and family of David. He went to register with Miriam, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. But while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and set him down in the manger, since there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in the same region, living out in the fields and guarding their flock at night. So, some historians believe that there were no rooms in the inn precisely because many people made the pilgrimage to Jerusalem during the autumn holidays. This was the, one of the reasons why there were no place in the inn. Therefore, based on these observations, most likely the birth of the Messiah could not have been in winter. Most likely. But be that as it may, it is not the date that is important. Therefore, the essence of the birth of the Messiah is more important for us. We can rejoice in the birth of Messiah. Therefore, as a messianic believer, I want to talk not about dates or traditions, but the greatest and joyful event of the coming of the Jewish Messiah promised in the Scriptures. And one more important thing. Very important. We can see in the Scriptures that the angels rejoiced, triumphed, and celebrated the birthday of the Messiah, Yeshua. It was a joyful event. So, Mazel Tov. It is a joyful event. We don't need to cry about it. We can rejoice. Let us read Luke 2, verse 8 through verse 14. Continue to read Luke 2. Now there were shepherds in the same region, living out in the fields and guarding their flock at night. Suddenly an angel of Adonai stood before them, and glory of Adonai shone all around them. And again, they were absolutely terrified. Absolutely terrified. Absolutely, absolutely, completely, totally, fully terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim good news to you," which is good news, "which will be great joy to all the people." Let us say together, it will be great joy to all the people. So he can be joyful. "A Savior is born to you today in the city of David, who is Messiah, the Lord. And the sign to you is this: you will find an infant wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a multitude of heavenly armies appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth shalom to men of good will." That is what I called a birthday party. A holiday. An event about which the heavens rejoice. That was a song, "Happy Birthday to You, Yeshua," sent by armies of angels. Happy birthday to you, Yeshua. And therefore, we have the privilege to celebrate the birth of the Savior, celebrate Jewish Christmas every day of our lives, every day. We can do it in September, if you want to have it October. If you like December, why not? We can celebrate January, March, February. Anytime we have the privilege to celebrate the Jewish Messiah. But again, I want to repeat, not the date, not the traditions, but the very essence, the meaning of the Messiah's appearance in our world. Amen. Today I want to consider the prophecies of the coming Messiah and their fulfillment. Let us go together in the Scriptures and find about His coming and prophesy about His coming. It's very important. And I want to start with today's chapter from the Torah, with the birth of Moses and his appearance to the Jewish people. So Moses, the great deliverer of his people, he was a type of the Messiah. He was the prophetic type of the Messiah. Every Jew knows about Moses today. Every. He was born into obscurity. We do not know the exact date of his birth, and he did not come from a wealthy family. So let us read about the birth of the great Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, the greatest prophet and teacher in the history of Israel. So here's the information, full information about his birth. Everything there. You will find everything. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. It is complete, understandable information about his birth. Now a man from the house of Levi took as his wife a daughter of Levi. This is what we know about his family, nothing more. The woman conceived and gave birth to a son. Now when she saw that he was delightful, she hid him for 3 months. And there is not much we can find about his parents, his date of birth, nothing. The great Moshe Rabbeinu. Likewise, the Messiah was born unknown to anyone. In the manger, because there was no room in the inn. He was unknown. He came to this world in the manger. Luke 2:7. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and set him down in the manger, since there was no room for them in the inn. Look, the same with Moses, the same with Yeshua. At the time of the birth of Moses, Pharaoh, out of fear of losing his power, he ordered the extermination of all male babies in all Egypt. He decided to kill all the Jewish boys. Do you remember what happened in the time of Yeshua? Do you remember? King Herod, frightened of the birth of the great Messiah, ordered to kill all baby boys. The same happened. Matthew 2:16. I would like to read it. Probably you know it, but I would like to read it. Matthew 2:16. Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became furious. And he sent and killed all boys in Bethlehem and in all its surrounding area, from 2 years old and under, according to the time he had determined from the Magi. The same story. Do you remember, in the same way, Moses was hidden in Egypt, in the house of Pharaoh. So Yeshua was hidden until a certain time, also in Egypt, because the angel told them, get up right now and go into Egypt. And his parents took Yeshua when he was born, and they went to Egypt. The same prophecy. So let's read the prophecies of the birth of the Messiah in the scriptures and compare them to the birth of Yeshua. So let's take just a few of them, because it's hundreds of them. We won't have time today. So, first one, Prophet Micha, or Micah. If you will find him, it will be a great thing. Prophet Micah. He lived about 7 centuries before Yeshua, and he prophesied about the birth of the Messiah. It was very accurate prophecy. Micah 5, verse 1. So here we find his prophecy about the place of the birth of Messiah. Micah 5, 1. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, least among the clans of Judah, from you will come out to me one to be ruler in Israel, one whose going forth are from of old, from days of eternity. Messiah. The city where the Messiah was born is directly named, and this is Bethlehem. Again, it is not Nikolaev. And I know that somebody will understand me why I'm saying Nikolaev. Because I know somebody who was born in Nikolaev and who claimed to be Messiah. It is not Jacksonville. I'm so sorry. It is not Jacksonville. It is not New York. It is not even Jerusalem. It is Bethlehem. And do you remember Messiah who was born in Bethlehem? What is his name? Yeah, Yeshua. He was born in Bethlehem. Also, a number of promises about the birth of the Messiah were made by the prophet Isaiah, who lived about the same time as Micah. So let us read a few of them. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Isaiah 11, verse 1. So interesting story. Then a shoot will come forth out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch will bear fruit out of his root. The Ruach of Adonai, or the Holy Spirit, will rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and insight, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Adonai. His delight will be in the fear of Adonai. He will not judge by what his eyes see, nor decide by what his ears hear. And verse 10, the key verse. It will also come about in the day that the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples, and the nations will seek for him, and his resting place will be glorious. This prophecy reveals that the Messiah would come from the family of Jesse. And Jesse, if you know, is the father of the great King David, from his roots. And the second part of the prophecy, verse 10, speaks that the rest of the nations will come to the Messiah. And here we have millions of people, of Christians, who are not Jews, but who believe in Yeshua, the Christ, the Lord, the Messiah. It is prophecy. It is a prophecy. Amen. Probably the most famous and vivid prediction about the birth of the Savior made by the prophet Isaiah sounds like this. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Such a great place of the Scriptures. Therefore, Adonai himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will come, will conceive. When she is given birth to a son, she will call his name Emmanuel. So, behold, the virgin will conceive. And last year we went through the idea of the Jewish, or the Hebrew name, Hebrew word, virgin. But this is the miracle. The virgin will conceive from the Holy Spirit. This word say about the coming of the Messiah from the virgin, who mysteriously will conceive, and his name will be Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And let us read about it in Matthew chapter 1. Let us open together the fulfillment of this prophecy. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Matthew 1, 20. What a great, you know, Torah, Tanakh, Brit Hadasha, it's the same book. The same book. This is the one book, the holy book. We can't split and separate them. I know that in the Orthodox Jewish world, they don't believe in the Brit Hadasha, in the New Testament. In the Christian world, I know that it is the Old Testament or Tanakh, barely read, barely. You can find somebody with the Bible and you will find that the small piece of the book is so much read, you know, you can see this. And fresh new Old Testament, barely opened. Maybe you can even smell this, you know, print. But it's the same book. Matthew 1, verse 20. But while he considered these things, behold, an angel of Adonai appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Miriam as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by Adonai through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up from his sleep, he did as the angel of Adonai commanded him and took Miriam as his wife. But he did not know her intimately until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Yeshua. Yeshua. Amen. And the last prophecy for today is from Isaiah chapter 9 about the baby who was to be given to us. I promise you, it's the last prophecy for tonight, today. Isaiah 9, verse 5. Only one verse. One of the most amazing prophecies. For to us a child is born, a son will be given to us, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, My Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. Amen. What a baby, what a son. Prince of Peace, Father of Eternity, My God. And Matthew 2, verse 1. Matthew 2, 1. Now after Yeshua was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem saying, so Magi, people from foreign nations, they weren't believers, they weren't Baptists or Pentecostal or Messianic believers, they were not from the Jewish people, they were Magi from another places. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great gladness. And when they came into the house, they saw the child with his mother Miriam. And they fell down and worshipped him. Can you imagine? They fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And you know, the gold is the gift to the king. Frankincense presents a gift to a priest or prayers. And myrrh presents anointing and gift that shows his future work of redemption, that he will die. So, Merry Jewish Christmas to you. Merry Jewish Christmas to you. Congratulations on the coming into this world of the Jewish Messiah and the Savior of all humankind. So, and I would like to end with a lesson for all of us. What lesson I would like to learn from the story of the birth of the Messiah? First, this is a great time to remember the coming of the Messiah. We need to remind people that actually Christmas, it is in the memory of Messiah. It is not about shopping or trees or I don't know what else. I'm not from America, so I know what's going on in Ukraine during the Christmas time. Remind people. It is about Yeshua, the Messiah. Remind them. Preach them. Speak to them about the Lord, about His life, His love to them. Second, the king and Mashiach was not born in a royal palace, but the simple barn. We must understand the words of Yeshua, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. And often, what is considered great in the world's eyes is emptiness in God's eyes. In the eyes of God, it doesn't matter how much money and power you have. What matters is your pure heart and your love to the Lord. This is what matters. Zechariah 4:10, you can just listen to what I want to read it. It says here, Zechariah 4:10, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." The small beginnings. The Lord can create great things out of a small beginning. Our Lord Yeshua, who was born in the stable, turned the whole world upside down. Such a small beginning. And look at the result. Look at the result. And if He called you, even if your calling begins in the stable, in a place that no one sees, the Lord will lead you out and put you above your enemies and your difficult circumstances. Amen. I would like to invite Ina. And in the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel as well. So we will close with Aaron's blessing as we normally do at Beth Israel. And again, Merry Jewish Christmas. Let us stand together. Let's pray. Yivrecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Yere Adonai panevelecha v'yichonecha. Yisa Adonai panevelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Mishpacha. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom.